the rest of the story. The spirit of adventure had always coursed through Tisquantum's blood. So when Charles Robbins invited him to sail to England, the young Native American eagerly accepted. Tisquantum received a remarkable education during his highly publicized stay in London, and although the memories of his youth among the Pawtuxet tribe sometimes made him homesick, he was quite comfortable as a guest in the Robbins household. He remained there for many years, became quite a good friend of Mrs. Robbins, Charles's mother. Then one day, when the opportunity to return to America arose, Tisquantum bade his British family farewell, boarded the ship. At the end of the uneventful voyage, the captain took him to within 3 days' walk of his native village. On the Indian trail through the forest, Tisquantum happily anticipated his reunion with the Pawtuxet and their certain amazement at the stories that he would tell them. Having had only positive experiences with white men, he could never have imagined the rest of the story. For just as Tisquantum drew near his village, he was captured by Thomas Hunt, captain of another English vessel. That vessel was a slave ship. Tisquantum was imprisoned in the ship's hold with dozens of Native Americans from his own Pawtuxet tribe. They would spend weeks in the dark with their hands bound behind them, eating scraps thrown to them from the deck above. Most were half dead by the time they reached the place where they were to be sold as slaves, Malaga, Spain. The sun felt warm and splendid in Tisquantum's face, and the air tasted fresh and sweet as he was retrieved at last from the filthy dungeon below decks. But the illusion of freedom was no more than that, for this was the day the Pawtuxet captives were to be sold in the city's market square. But just as Tisquantum was being led to the auction block, he noticed two Catholic friars in brown robes standing nearby. Realizing that such churchmen were the only ones present likely to be sympathetic, he broke free, threw himself at their feet. Over and over he cried, "Please help me." Fortunately, one of the Spanish friars understood. He knelt beside Tisquantum and whispered in astonishment, "You speak English." The slave traders rushed up to claim their property, but the two churchmen argued them into submission and escorted Tisquantum to safety. In a local monastery, he recovered his health. In a few weeks more, he sailed for England, where he was reunited with his British family, the Robbinses. He stayed for 2 years and then returned to America once more. Any thought of his personal misfortune vanished upon learning that in his absence, his entire tribe had been wiped out by an epidemic, probably smallpox. And yet, if this Native American's unique odyssey is the stuff of which history is made, it's all the more remarkable that school children rarely hear of his adventures, at least until his second return to North America. Mostly forgotten is Tisquantum's leap from Cape Cod to London to Cape Cod to Malaga to London to Cape Cod. Remembered instead is what happened later in 1620 when a ship called the Mayflower parked at Plymouth, only to be greeted by an English-educated, internationally-traveled gentleman with copper skin. Well, that Indian was Tisquantum. Under his tutelage, the pilgrims learned to survive in the New World. With Tisquantum as interpreter and negotiator, they even made a peace with the neighboring Indian tribes that lasted for 50 years. Now, in school, you may have been taught that the pilgrims got through those first harsh winters with the aid of a trusting, friendly, childlike savage, sometimes called Squanto. Well, now you know the rest of the story.